Cal was well aware that Peter was very skeptical of Edwin, while Edwin at the same time thought he was the only one there with a genuine UFO contact, and it didn't include Peter. They were both amazed by the result. Cal happened to be the lead investigator in both cases and had personal reasons for believing that both were valid despite the feelings of the two contactees. He had spent a great deal of time running down dues that neither of the contactees knew anything about, yet the UFOnauts in both cases seemed to be quite aware of what he was doing. I am sure that this will not come across too well to any soft-one who has not patiently investigated a few of these cases for himself. We simply document the event here for your own information. Whether you choose to accept it or not is entirely up to you. Chapter 13, Earth Transmission. In the Confederation, the festival of Nixie-Ugandi is the equivalent of our Christmas on Earth. That too it is held in honor of the birth of a Christ-like being. The festival lasts about 1 week of Earth time and part of it is spent in prayer and meditation and part in the reunion of families and friends and the exchange of gifts. It is a joyful time for young and old and is soft-tiered around the home and family. Relatives and friends visit one another, traveling from one planet to another in the Confederation in large cigar-shaped spacecraft. In return for the many Christmas greetings which we had received in the past, we at Cubase decided to send a goodwill message for the forthcoming Nixie-Ugandi Soft-Sun on Calder's. We made a tape recording on which the four of us, Edwin, Elizabeth, Yvette, my wife, and my soft-self, recorded a short message with musical excerpts taken from an LP record of Handel's Messiah. Nixie-Ugandi fell in the last week of February and we transmitted our recording on a Friday evening, Feb. 4th, 1975. This was accomplished by playing the tape through headphones on Edwin after he had been attuned by the usual procedure to the Confederation thought frequency. Could more be transmitted through Edwin than just our voices? For some time I had the feeling that the Confederation uses Edwin's eyes as well as his ears. If he could be made to open his eyes while listening to the spoken message, we could each take our turn before our camera, in keeping with the personal message in the recording. To enhance the effect we used candles held in our hands, hoping that Edwin's own image would be trans-soft-mitted by holding a mirror before him when his turn came to speak. On Friday evening everything was ready for our transmission to go on the air. Edwin was tuned in the usual way, and to a gentle verbal request, he opened his eyes. Our Nixie-Ugandi message to the Confederation began with the Hallelujah chorus, for the Lord God Om Soft-Nipotent Treigneth, Hallelujah. Thisk base on the planet Earth calls the Confederation of Planets, from Grandor to Seton. Melka on the perimeter of our solar system, all astral craft and personnel everywhere. As these words faded, the Hallelujah chorus continued with He shall reign forever and Eve. So the message continued with music and our personal messages of goodwill. It closed with the choir singing the last Amen from the oratorio. In conclusion I said a few words of thanks to all those who had made the transmission possible. I then removed the headphones from Edwin and waited. A few moments later Edwin began to speak. We were in touch with the astral craft which had intercepted our transmission and relayed it to Melka. This is Talance, my friends, we have received your transmission while we hovered 80 kilometers above your cube base. We thank you. Your message will bring much joy to us all. This craft was a relay station and I have just heard that Melka has had good reception and succeeded in making a recording of both voice and picture. I must now return to 535 kilometers altitude and from there, put you in contact with Melka direct. Please stand by. There was a short pause again. Then we were in consoft-tact with Melka. Physis Cashendo from Melka. On behalf of the personnel of this satellite, I would like to thank you for your Nixie-Ugandi message. The method you used was unique, as it enabled us to see and hear all of you. We were very surprised to receive a picture of Edwin during the transmission. I have recorded the sound and picture which will be sent to our subsoft-areas. I am sorry that at present we cannot reciprocate by sending you visual pictures of us, but who knows, this might well happen in time to come. Let me now describe some of the events that usually take place during this season. On Caldas there will be an astral craft display on a large scale. Divisions from Seton, Caldas, Byron and Trexila will take part. Imagine 1,500 large silver discs performing intricate aerobatics in the sky. Volda will be the leader of this display. He can always be relied upon to spring a Zursoft-prize or two. The display will be watched by many Thousoft-sans of Caldasians, but visitors from other planets will be there also, for Caldas is the only planet where this famous display is held. Kashendo then said that after the astral display, festivities would continue for 3 days and night with Caldasian cities brightly lit with colored lights. Music and delicate essence to suit all tastes would be available from all over the Confederation. On the fourth day there would be a period of meditation where the population unite in a thanksgiving to the Divine Creator. Their night is time for families and friends to visit one another in their homes. This too is a fairly quiet day, but then the younger generation takes over. Children dressed in colored costumes dance in procession through flower-decorated streets, while yet more flowers are thrown from the high buildings and astral craft hover over the city trailing bright-colored streamers. Kashendo said that everyone takes a holiday during this season, except those in essential services. He said that in the smaller centers the celebrations are much simpler, but that there would be dancing and music every Soft-where. Each of the planets had their own unique way of spending the holiday, and although customs differed, the underlying religious emphasis was the same. Kashendo then changed the subject and said, I have before me a report dealing with the launching of ProSoft-Ject Fireball by the Confederation. I see that Melka is to play a key role in this vast operation. Let me explain briefly the purpose of the plan. It is to save as many as possible in the event of a major catastrophe occurring on Earth. This might be a nuclear war or the collision with an asteroid or some other cosmic disaster involving Earth. This includes the approaching embryo sun, solar calendar. See Appendix 3, Reciprocal Paradoxes, last part. A code word has been given should such an emergency occur. At that instant Kashendo paused. We heard Edwin's dog barking in the backyard. We wondered why the Transsoft-mission was interrupted. Then he continued, there is a message just handed to me, please stand by Q-Base. The dog continued barking intermittently. While Edwin sat in silence, we looked out of the main window, drawing aside the curtains, but we could see nothing unsoft-usual. Then, after a few minutes, Kashendo resumed the thought transmission through Edwin. Physis Kashendo returning to Q-Base. We have just received a message from Talance, who is still above your home, keeping a dose watch on your surroundings. It appears that you have had a visitor who tried to eavesdrop on your meat soft-hyphening, and we think that he must have alerted your dog. The soft-re are still some aspects of this Project Fireball that we do not wish to make public at this time. Therefore, it is best that we now end this transmission. Thank you again for your message for our Nixia candy season. Farewell to you all. Then, before disconnecting entirely, Talance said a few final words. We have monitored and relayed to Melka all that took place at Q-Base and its IMPSoft-EAT vicinity during your transmission. We thank you for your kind wishes and now say farewell. Chapter 14, Project Fireball. In the event of a global catastrophe taking place on Earth, the Confederation has devised a rescue plan called Operation Fireball. Its purpose is to save as many lives as possible in a mass evacuation of those of Earth's inhabitants who choose of their own free will to leave and be resettled on another planet with similar environmental conditions. Early in 1975 Volda spoke to us at Q-Base about the possibility of such a world disaster taking place. In 1975 Dr. Bonnie Marshick, psychologist, living in Tucson, Arizona, received extensive automatic typing transmissions on a dark sun approaching our solar system soft-tem from the direction of Cancer. The work was received in German and she cannot speak or read any German. Her terminal stage breast cancer was cured during the Autosoft-Matic typing sessions in her home, in the early morning hours in the dark of night and with no lights. He, Voldar, said, "At present the Earth has two major Prosoft-Blooms. We have already mentioned Solar Commander, who have tried to divert it but without success so far. For the moment, let us ignore this second sun, since there are ways and means of overcoming its effects. At Cubase we first heard about Solar Commander Upsoft-roaching our solar system in 1973, when we all visited at Cubase to alert the members. Solar Commander means a sun that has not yet fled or blazed, we are told. It is approaching from the constellation of Cancer. As our solar system enters deeper into its sphere of influence, changes in our planetary magnetic fields have from time to time been observed by the Confederation. One of these disturbances reached its peak in June 1975. In the magnetic fields or tunnels that connect the planets in our solar system, the two opposing streams of magnetic flux short-circuited. Instead of flowing along the length of the tunnel, in many places they jumped across to the returning stream. As a result, the magnetic fields lost their continuity and magnetically propelled spacecraft were unable to pass through the normal traffic lanes. We lost contact with those Confederation craft which kept a pre-arranged times of communication with us. But we happened to make contact with a craft which was stranded in orbit around our planet with no power and unable to continue. But there is a far more serious problem, Voldar continued, the nuclear explosions that have occurred in the paste in the various regions of your planet have sent clouds of radiation upwards into your atmosphere and higher regions. This is very serious. Fallout from these explosions is the heavier material that find way downwards. By the era microscopic particles of carbon, minute and invisible to the eye, which are blown high up into ionosphere. These particles are so light that they do not return to the Earth but remain up there. In addition, through air pollution. Over the years, carbon particles from many terrestrial sources such as industry, fires and so on, have also collected at these higher altitudes where they remain and mix with the radioactive carbon particles. Here a reaction has been brought about by the radiation of your sun which has now created an inflammable and explosive layer around your planet. Do you realize what this could mean? Voldar stressed again the seriousness of this matter. Yes, solar radiation has now created an inflammable ionosphere around the Earth. These layers have become impregnated with various forms of carbon, dispersed in clouds over large areas of many thousands of miles. This has also brought about temperature changes in some areas. Although the sun's rays can still filter through them, some regions are becoming warmer while others are becoming colder. But the greatest danger is the explosion of nuclear warheads in or near this inflammable region. On four occasions already, guided missiles with explosive warheads have been stopped by us and the mechanism rendered harmless. Their purpose of these missiles was to explode nuclear devices high above your planet. If this inflammable layer were ever ignited, your planet could become a ball of fire. Obviously, Voldar was deeply concerned for the Safsoft-Eti of the population of Earth. He continued, "If you detonated a bomb of a certain strength, or if a nuclear war broke out on Earth, the whole planet could eventually soft-hyphenly burn up. If there is anything that we of the Conf-Soft-Aeration have succeeded in doing on Earth, it is to in-soft-still a healthy respect in the minds of your military and government leaders of such a calamity being touched off by a high-level test or a nuclear war."